Chapter 2, Partnership Taxation. Now, partnership tax didn't change very much under the TCJA, but there are some notable things for the CPA exam, for CPA exam purposes, that I will point out when necessary. But for the most part, it's a lot of the same stuff. Partnership basics. Partnerships are not a legal or taxable entity, and income and expenses flow through to the partner through a Form K-1. Now, when property is exchanged for a partnership interest, it's a non-taxable event, so there's no gain or loss recognized. And the partner's basis in the partnership equals the basis of the property that was contributed. An exception is when the property has a liability that exceeds the basis, which is a capital gain. So if you have a $4,000 basis in your property and a $6,000 mortgage, and you exchange that for a 20% interest, well, your capital gain is $4,000, because that's your $4,000 basis, minus $4,800. Now, where does $4,800 come from? Well, you had a $6,000 mortgage, and you were getting a 20% interest, and so you were effectively offloading 80% of that mortgage, because 20% is still you, because you're part of the partnership, so 20% of that mortgage is still attached to you, but 80% goes to the partnership. So 80% of that $6,000 mortgage, or $4,800, is the amount of the mortgage that you're offsetting, you're offloading, rather. So your $4,000 basis minus the $4,800 mortgage that you're offloading, that gives you an $800 capital gain. So that's the exception. Now, when there's the capital gain in this instance, that results in zero basis for the partner, and the partnership has a $4,800 basis in the property because it's the contributor's basis plus the gain recognized by the contributor. So the basis was $4,000 plus the gain recognized by the contributor, $4,800. If services are rendered for the partnership interest, however, that is a taxable event and it's treated the same as compensation. So use the percentage of the partnership interest times the fair market value of the partnership, and that is your taxable income. So if you get 20% interest and the fair market value of the partnership is $100,000, well, you have $20,000 in taxable income. And then your taxable income amount becomes your basis because you paid tax on it. Let's talk about the partnership holding periods of an asset. So the partnership, when they receive property, the partnership inherits the holding period of the asset contributed. An exception is inventory, and the holding period for inventory begins when contributed. Startup costs. The startup costs for a partnership get the same tax treatment as that of an individual taxpayer. And if you remember back to individual tax, $5,000 of startup costs are deductible, but that amount gets reduced dollar for dollar for the amount over $50,000 in startup costs. And it should be noted that syndication fees, like preparing, offering materials, etc., are not deductible or amortized as startup costs. So let's talk about some deductions to arrive at partnership income. So you take your partnership income and you back out cost of goods sold, subtract wages, except for those to partners, subtract guaranteed payments, subtract business bad debt, only if they're on the accrual basis, subtract interest paid, and interest paid to partners is okay, subtract depreciation, except 179, and subtract amortization of startup costs, and that gives you your partnership income. So partnership income minus cost of goods sold, minus wages, except to partners, minus guaranteed payments, minus business bad debt, if you're on accrual, minus interest paid, it's okay if the interest is being paid to partners, minus depreciation, except for Section 179, and minus amortization of startup costs, and that gives you your partnership income. Partnership losses cannot be taken below basis, and the loss is carried forward until the basis is available. So if your beginning basis is $2,400 and you add $200 in income minus an ordinary loss of $3,000, that goes down to zero. Well, mathematically, that doesn't go down to zero. $2,400 plus $200 is $2,600. Minus $3,000 for the ordinary loss, that's a $400 loss. But the basis stays at zero. The $400 loss gets carried forward until more basis is available for it to absorb into. Guaranteed payments. These appear in the partner's income during the year in which the fiscal year closes. So if you have a June 1st, 2017 to May 31st, 2018 fiscal year, even if the payment was received sometime in 2017, it's income on the 2018 individual return because it appears in the partner's income during the year in which the fiscal year closes. Might be a tricky exam question for you. Partnership benefits. Health insurance, life insurance, these are treated as guaranteed payments and are included as self-employment income. Guaranteed payments. Take the percentage share of ordinary partnership income or loss from the K-1 plus guaranteed partnership payments minus the percentage share of Section 179 expense, and that gives you your self-employment income, which is subject to self-employment tax, and that's how you handle that for guaranteed payments. Let's talk about a partner's basis from a property contribution. If they contribute property, the partner's basis is the property's original basis. If they contribute services, their basis is the fair market value of the percentage of partnership ownership. If they purchase a partnership interest, the amount of purchase is their basis. And if they get a partnership interest by gift, then gift tax rules apply for gift basis. Now let's talk about some items that are not deductible on Schedule K. Instead, these flow through to the partner's K-1. And it's IFC 179. So think of some independent mixed martial arts league. IFC 179. I don't know what voice that was. IFC 179. You have investment interest expense, foreign tax paid, charitable contributions, and 179 expense. Investment interest expense, foreign tax paid, charitable contributions, and 179 expense. So if they have any investment interest expense, flows through the K-1. If they have any foreign tax paid, flows through to the partner's K-1. If there's charitable contributions, flows through to the K-1. Section 179 expense, flows through the K-1. They are not deductible on Schedule K. Items not counted as income on Schedule K. Passive income, portfolio income, Section 1231 gain or loss, and the mnemonic would be PP 1231. PP 1231. So again, those are items not counted as income on a Schedule K. Passive income, portfolio income, 1231 gain or loss, PP 1231. Okay, let's talk more about a partnership basis calculation. You take beginning partnership basis plus any capital contributions, plus the partner's share of ordinary income, because they're paying tax on it, plus capital gains, plus any tax-exempt income. And don't forget that. Don't let the examiners trick you. Tax-exempt income gets added to the partnership basis. So what makes a partnership basis increase or decrease? Partnership basis is decreased by any money distributed, by the adjusted basis of any property distributed, by any share of ordinary losses, or when the partnership is relieved of a liability. It's considered a distribution. So basically, losses, any type of distribution. Partnership basis is increased when the partnership gets a loan. So, for example, let's say that beginning partnership basis for a partner is $15,000. And their share of partnership income is $22,000. Mix in some tax-exempt income, 1231 casualty gain, 1231 non-casualty gain, long-term capital gain. So add all those up, $15,000 beginning basis plus $22,000 share of partnership income plus $500 tax-exempt income plus $3,000 1231 casualty gain. And I know you're getting lost in the numbers here. Just stick with me. Another $2,000 1231 non-casualty gain, $2,500 long-term capital gain, a lot of stuff here. But it all adds up to $30,000, okay? Because it's $15,000 beginning basis plus $30,000 for all that stuff adds up to $45,000. Now, you back out any your short-term capital loss of $2,000 and you back out charitable contributions of $3,000, giving ending basis of $40,000. So beginning basis plus partnership income plus tax-exempt income plus casualty gains plus long-term capital gains, back out short-term capital loss, back out charitable contributions, gives you an ending basis of $40,000. There's a lot of numbers there, I know. Now, note, guaranteed payments do not affect basis. That would be a good CPA exam question. So what about the order of adjustment to basis? Well, first you increase the basis when there's a share of liability. So they're assuming part of a mortgage. Then you increase basis from all income items, including tax-exempt income. Then you decrease the basis for distribution. Then you decrease basis for losses, which is limited to basis. So increase basis when they absorb some liability. Increase basis from income items, including tax-exempt income. Then decrease basis for distributions, and then decrease basis for losses, which are limited to basis. So that's how you do it. Increase, increase, decrease, decrease. And something to note here is that gains are always allowed in related party transactions. So if a 33% partner sells property to a partnership at a $6,000 gain, well, the partner recognizes a $6,000 capital gain on their K-1. And a 50% or more partner who contributes capital gain property to a partnership, who in return won't use it as capital gain property, treats the gain as ordinary, and so will the partnership. Little nuance there. Partnership taxable year, the due date is March 15th, and you get a six-month extension. Contrast that with individuals and C-Corps who have an April 15th date. Partnerships and S-Corps have a March 15th due date with a six-month extension. And the partnership taxable year must be the same as 50% of the partners and use the same tax year for 3 years. When a partner dies, the taxable year only closes with respect to the partner and their partnership interest. The rest of the partnership keeps on going. Partnerships can't use cash basis. So this goes back to the individual tax chapter. But a partnership can't use cash basis if the partnership has inventories. Got to use accrual. Partnership is a tax shelter. Got to use accrual. Corporation is a partner, must use accrual. Now, even if a partnership carries no inventory, if they have gross receipts of $5 million or more, then they cannot use the cash basis. However, if they do carry an inventory and if their gross receipts are $1 million or less, then a cash basis is okay. That's a little loophole that partnerships can use. So ordinarily, partnerships can't use cash basis if they have an inventory, but if their gross receipts are $1 million or less and they have inventory, it's okay. Partnership termination. A partnership terminates when there's less than two partners because it's no longer a partnership, or just when the operation ceases. Now, prior to TCJA, when 50% or more of the partnership interest was sold within a 12-month period, it terminated immediately. But under the TCJA, that is no longer applicable. So that might make for an interesting exam question. Sale of a partnership interest results in a capital gain or loss. And the amount, so you take the amount realized minus the basis in the partnership, and that's your gain or loss. And again, your basis in the partnership is your capital account plus the liabilities that you've assumed. And in the sale of a partnership interest, any assets that are sold that are not capital in nature, that's an ordinary gain, such as unrealized receivables and appreciated inventory. Now, there's something called a Section 754 election or Section 743B adjustment. That part's not important. But essentially, the adjustment amount is the difference between the value of the outside basis of property to the partner who's transferring the property in, and then the inside basis of the same partner once in the partnership. So the objective is to ensure that the inside basis of the asset is equal to the outside basis. And this adjustment is optional for gains, but it's mandatory for losses. So mandatory for losses. And so when the inside basis exceeds the outside basis by more than $250,000, then the adjustment needs to be made. So just a little nuance there, just to put in your back pocket for exam day. You might get a question on it, and it could be pretest. You never know. But at least you know the $250,000 amount for inside basis exceeds outside basis. Let's wrap it up by discussing some partnership distributions and order of basis reduction. When a partner receives a distribution, the partner first reduces their partnership basis by any money that they received. Then they reduce the basis by the adjusted basis of unrealized receivables and inventory. And finally, they reduce their basis by the adjusted basis of any other property that's received. Now, note, only monetary distributions trigger a gain in a partnership distribution. So do partnerships recognize a gain or loss on a distribution? No. Finally, one thing to note with liquidating and non-liquidating partnership distributions, which one of those allows a loss to be taken? A loss can only occur in a liquidating partnership distribution. This concludes Chapter 2.